Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production.
Welcome to the OFNT podcast, episode 235, which I'm calling Glow Time, more like Dull Time. Of course, the episode title is referring to the latest Apple iPhone event. There were no surprises and hardly any updates to the hardware shown. And that's for the first time that I can remember since I started watching Apple events. Perhaps I'm just becoming jaded, or we've reached the pinnacle of mobile tech design. Can this be the end of an era? Anyway, the tech news intertubes have remained quiet, as I predicted, but I'm hopeful that next week we'll see an increase of interesting stuff to bloviate about. We'll see. Well, my jaw is all warmed up now, so let's get things started. Yay! Tech news. As you probably know, Apple held its annual iPhone event last Monday, which was titled Glow Time. Most figured the title was referring to the way the new AI-infused Siri, and that's Apple's name for the company's personal digital assistant, would now interact with users, replacing the circle with moving blob method Siri uses now. During the event, which has got to be one of the most boring that Apple has ever had, really wasn't featured much. Or perhaps I had dozed off when it was being featured. I was going to do a special episode about Glow Time, but it would have been hard to do so based on nothing. The first thing up was the Apple Watch 10, which was rumored to be getting a radical redesign.
No.
Yeah, the new watch is bigger and thinner, but looks much like its predecessors. That's not really a bad thing, but many in the tech press had predicted more. There was no blood pressure monitoring added and no new watch band attachment mechanism introduced, which I think is a good thing. Magnets can be fine for attaching things, but I'd rather rely on good old physical ways of securing things to other things. Of course, the chip which powers the watch is more powerful, faster, and more efficient, but that's pretty much a given these days. Battery life was extended a bit, but you still can't get a full 24 hours or more from the Apple Watch 10, though Apple added faster charging, claiming one can reach 80% charge in 30 minutes. And you'll need that quick charge if you plan on using the Apple Watch 10 for sleep tracking and the newly added sleep apnea tracking feature. The more important, well, in my opinion, blood oxygen monitoring function, which was critical during the COVID years, which was removed from the Apple Watch in the U.S. because of a patent dispute, failed to make its return. Because my lovely wife and I still have Apple Watch 7s, and because both of our watches' batteries are showing signs of their age, we most likely will be upgrading to the Apple Watch 10 in December. Still, though the bigger and brighter screen is welcome, I still feel I'm sort of downgrading because of the lack of the blood oxygen monitoring. Perhaps Apple will figure out a way to bring that feature back via a software update in the future. Blood pressure monitoring would have been great, but I've since come to understand that it would have been inaccurate. It seems the only way to get a good read on one's blood pressure is by using the tried-and-true inflatable cuff method. Oh well. Apple also added a titanium option for the watch, ditching the metal options of past years. Also a new glossy black finish color option for the standard models made from aluminum. You know, I'd rather a dull finish, but perhaps I'm just projecting here. Oh, the rear of the new watch models are now made from metal instead of the plastic used before. Next up, the new regular AirPods were introduced. They look like the Pro AirPods more than ever now. You know, the only way to tell the difference these days is the method the AirPods connect to your ears. The Pros are in-ear, while the non-Pros sort of hang on to your ears. I would go for these lower-end AirPods, and yes, I've tried them in the past, but I'm one of the 10% of the people in this world whose ears just won't fit them. I, like my fellow 10%, are consigned to having to wear the more expensive Pro models if I want to stay within Apple's ecosystems in regard to headphones. Two models of the regular AirPods were introduced, differentiated by one model having active noise cancellation and, of course, price. The ANC-equipped models, well, they might be a good candidate for my wife, who currently uses the first-generation Pros but can't stand the ear canal mounting method. I'm sure these new AirPod models will be a runaway bestseller this holiday season.
Yes.
There were no new AirPods Pro model introduced, so I'll keep rocking my Generation 2s for now. But I will be getting some new features. Well, someday. Upon FCC approval, my Gen 2s will be able to function as hearing aids. That's something I may increasingly need as I age. One feature that has already been implemented is the use of yes and no gestures to respond to Siri while wearing the Pro AirPods. Something I'll seldom use because I seldom wear my AirPods at all. That's why I'm in no hurry for the third generation of AirPods Pro. I still have the Lightning cable charging case, and I refuse to pay $100 for a new USB-C case. The final models of AirPods showcased was the AirPods Max over-the-ear models, which have been neglected for some 4 years now. These $500-plus headsets receive new colors and a USB-C charging point, and, well, that's it. Nada. Nothing else. It was finally time for the true stars of the event, the iPhones. The regular poor person's iPhone received an upgrade in RAM, and that's the better to run AI with, my dearies. New colors and the action button from last year's Pro models. We also got a camera shutter button and an upgraded camera. The camera lens alignment has returned to the vertical of yore, shedding the cool-looking diagonal mounting. And that was done for compatibility with spatial photography, which is used on the Vision Pro. You remember the Vision Pro, right?
No.
I barely do. The glass on the front of the phone has been upgraded, with Apple claiming that it's 50% tougher than the first generation, which is great, but I would still recommend putting a protector on that expensive screen. Oh, the screen itself refreshes at 60 hertz, which is good enough, but behind the times. Finally, the iPhone poor person's models got the new A18 chip instead of last year's chip, which Apple started doing a few years ago. Again, better to run AI. The new bigger and better iPhone Pros appeared next, that after a darn good pep talk about the wonders of iOS 18, more on this in the Tech I'm Using section, and Apple Intelligence, also known as AI and as machine learning. Yep, the new iPhone Pro and Pro Max are bigger, shinier, thanks to new colors than last year's iPhone 15s. These models also received the A18 Pro chip, which is a slight upgrade from last year's A17 Pro chip, no matter how Apple attempted to hype it up. Other features are the same toughened-up glass around the front as the plain iPhone 16, ProMotion display with a 120Hz refresh rate, and the camera shutter button. The RAM was also bumped up like the plain iPhone 16. The biggest upgrade seemed to be the cameras, which can do all sorts of things people will never attempt to do, but I'm sure a very small user base were thrilled. Smartphone cameras, as well as smartphones themselves, have reached a point where there are no mind-blowing features being announced any longer. All we get are small improvements these days. I guess that's why we have the AI hype machine in play these days. Even with that, Apple's Glow Time event ended with a whimper, unlike the One More Things of Steve Jobs. The whole event was put together as if Apple knew they didn't have much and decided to pad the thing with filler, like how environmentally concerned the company is. All in order to stretch things out to be able to call it an event. I guess the one last thing here is Apple's hard replacement for leather, fine woven, is officially dead.
Yay!
Well, at least for phone cases. Watch bands and accessories, which will still be available using fine woven, unfortunately. I guess this will be the case until Apple comes up with a worthy successor to leather. So what are your thoughts about the Glow Time event? Did you even bother watching it? Bloomberg.com has the following headline. Apple, Google lose multi-billion dollar court fights with EU, unquote. Yeah, it's almost October. That's the start of the new fiscal year and time to balance that old budget. Well, a trip to the automated teller machine is in order to withdraw some money. The ATM in the EU's case appears to be U.S.-based tech companies. All that aid to Ukraine must be a strain on the EU because this time they went after two of the largest tech companies, Google and Apple, and delivered judgments on the same day. Now, I'm not defending these two companies. It just appears to U.S.-based people that the EU is constantly hitting U.S. companies over and over again. In Apple's case, the Irish government had given Apple that great tax break and Ireland benefited from doing so. Now, if I were Apple, I'd ask the value of those benefits back from the Irish government. Right, like that would ever happen.
No.
In Google's case, well, I have less sympathy. Google is up to some shaky stuff and has been for a while, especially in regards to search engine results. It's sad that Google has become what the company once accused Microsoft of being, while still pretending not to be that way. Anyway, Apple and Google will just pass the cost of these fines on to the consumer, so they'll come out even while the consumer loses. Yet again. Samsung wants you to move to Google Messages, and it's for the best. And this is from AndroidCentral.com. According to the article, starting with the Galaxy Z Flip and Z Fold 6, the Samsung Messages app is no longer to be pre-installed on Samsung devices. Samsung also appears to be prompting users to switch to Google Messages as their default SMS app. While Samsung Messages is not immediately being discontinued, all signs point to Google Messages being the future app of the company's One UI. So what does it all mean?
I don't know.
Well, I think this is part of a push to make Google's version of RCS the standard amongst Android phones, which includes the Big G's end-to-end encryption. I'm not sure if Samsung's version of RCS even has that end-to-end encryption yet. This might pressure the giant fruit company who is adapting RCS for its messaging service on all the company's devices this fall, or as I like to say, real soon now, to adopt Google's encryption method. Apple, who has stated that it's working with the RCS's governing standards board, probably would like the board to adopt its own company standard, thus becoming the de facto RCS encryption standard. So, what we have here is an end-to-end encryption standard tug of war. Well, we'll see who wins more sway with the RCS standards board. What about us consumers? Well, for Android users, they'll eventually have a common RCS standard based on Google's interpretation. Apple users, well, for now, have no end-to-end encryption while using RCS on the company's messaging services. Perhaps that's what Apple wants, lest RCS drive some away from iMessages and therefore the Apple ecosystem. And we can't have that, can we?
No.
This is all more of the same. This time it's pertaining to messaging standards. You know, one step forward, two steps back. I've used Google's RCS in my Pixel 3 when it was first introduced. It worked really well, and I would like to have a fully functional RCS on my Apple devices. Now imagine, if you would, if the Windows Phone mobile operating system still existed. Apple is Microsoft's arch enemy, and I'm sure they would have thrown in with Google on RCS standards, but alas, Windows Phone doesn't exist any longer, thanks to Google. And yes, I'm still upset about that.
Yes! Yes!
Continuing with the topic of RCS, DigitalTrends.com has an article with the following headline. RCS messages are about to look a little different on your Android phone, unquote. According to the article, at present, if you receive a plain Jane text message, it would state text message. If you receive an RCS message, it would state RCS message at the bottom. The new change will shorten this to either say just text or RCS. Well, that's a small change indeed. Supposedly, this change is intended making the Android platform more readily accessible and approachable for new users, especially those coming to Android for the first time from iOS. Add in Google adopted many of the features of iMessage for the company's version of RCS. There I say Google is attempting to make Android more iOS-like.
No!
Oh no, why?
Yeah, I see that my prediction of a slow tech news week has in fact come true. Hey, are you a fan of the foldable phone format? Do you feel that the more folds a phone screen has, the better? And do you have about $3,000 or more just burning a hole in your pocket? Well, you're in luck, my friend. According to CNET.com, Huawei has just announced a triple foldable phone called the Mate XT Ultimate. So why settle for a phone that only folds once or twice when you can have a phone that folds three, count them, three times? Oh, the joy! You have to be residing in China in order to buy one of these babies, though. For a few $100 more, I'm pretty sure you'd be able to get one on the gray market if you really need one of these phones. Or just move to China. Simple. The actual list price for this phone is $2,800, and it looks nice, but $2,800? My desktop setup didn't even cost me that much, and it includes a 16GB RAM, 1TB hard drive-equipped Mac Mini, a 26-inch LG display, a Logitech mechanical keyboard, and fancy wireless mouse whose brand name I can't remember right now. Besides wealthy people, who is this phone for? As I've talked about in the past, I can see this being perfect for someone whose phone is their computer, but at this huge price, who can really afford one? Until prices fall dramatically, foldable phones will remain a niche market. I predict that another Chinese phone manufacturer, like Xiaomi, will introduce a quad foldable phone just to one-up Huawei. Just a short note to close out the tech news section. Lately, I've been getting a whole bunch of articles about Chromebooks fed to me within my news feeds. Has the hive mind decided to give the light computer client another look? Have more people realize that progressive web apps might be a better alternative than app stores? Or has my writing and talking about Chromebooks been scraped up and fed back to me? I use Apple Pages for writing, so that's not supposed to be happening. It's probably some algorithm buried deep within my systems that are responsible for this. I usually use Microsoft's Edge browser for newsfeed, so starting this week, I'm going to use Apple Safari for that task and see if it makes a difference. If it doesn't, I'll use Proton Docs for a week and see how that goes. Tech I'm using! During the boring Apple Glow Time event, and that's just my opinion, my mind was set adrift at various points, especially the tech specs coverage. When the Apple Watch 10 introduction veered into processing power and chip specs, I thought about how great it would have been if Apple had come out with augmented reality glasses in a form factor similar to regular subscription glasses instead of goggles like the Vision Pro. These AR glasses could have used the iPhone for its power and computational abilities while being integrated within the Apple Watch ecosystem. Now imagine receiving a FaceTime call via your watch with the AR glasses being the screen. Now, how convenient would that be? Yeah, maybe that's where Apple is heading. Who knows? I'm sure if the technology for something like that was available, it would have been already done. When Apple was showing off its Apple Intelligence features during the event, I must admit that it kind of inspired me. So inspired that though I swore I wouldn't download any iOS, iPadOS, or watchOS betas this year, I took the plunge and did indeed download them. And I did so shortly after the Glow Time event petered out, thinking I would get to flex some of the new Apple Intelligence features of those operating systems.
Wrong.
And after updating my devices, I realized that I hadn't paid close enough attention to things. It became apparent that most of the cool features that I wanted to check out are coming at a later date.
Oh, no.
When? Only the people over at Cupertino know for sure. If I had to guess, probably real soon now. The only useful new feature that I've found so far is the ability to time when an iMessage will be sent, and that's something I was able to do with text messages using Android years ago. I can say that RCS messaging is now supported on iOS, verified by the text message RCS notification in the text box I saw while communicating with my lawn service guy. Few of RCS's features are enabled at this point, And only iOS has gotten RCS so far, as plain old text message SMS still shows up while using my updated iPad and Macs. This has left me sort of feeling ripped off. If I were still a working man, I'd probably adopt a new Pixel as my work phone, just to check Android out. The Tim Cook era at Apple seems to have become dependent on releasing announced features in the future, instead of at the same time as the announcements. I seem to recall hardware and software being available right after being announced during the Jobs era. Maybe it's my memory at fault here, and it really wasn't like that at all. This whole recent iPhone event seemed to be about incremental updates for the hardware, with all the cool software updates being rolled out further down the road. Overall, I feel the Apple iPhone GlowTime event can be summed up with one word: disappointment. This event could have been done with a press release, and this is the first time I can remember feeling this way about an Apple event.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Entertainment news. Well, there's not much happening this week in entertainment news, which is mirroring the tech news space. Both sectors will be gearing up for the upcoming holiday season, so you can expect a lot of movies being released between October and December. My lovely wife and I watched the first two episodes of The Old Man on Hulu Friday evening. I don't know about her, but I'm not feeling it. The first season was full of action with plenty of twists and turns by this point, while the second season seems to be moving at a slower pace. Another season of Pachinko, which is on Apple TV, has started, and again, so far, it doesn't seem as good as the first season. The one thing these shows have in common is it's been about 2 years between the first and second seasons. While The Old Man has the writer's strike as an excuse, Pachinko is a Korean production, so what's up with that? Slow Horses, also an Apple TV exclusive, is so far my favorite new season of all the shows that have recently started their new seasons, followed by Only Murders in the Building. Both of these shows have hit the ground running, so to speak. In regards to Slow Horses, I thought I had read all of the novels, but this season the events taking place are new to me. I guess I missed that novel that this season is based on. Tulsa King debuts tomorrow, so I have something to look forward to. Oh, and Tulsa King is another series with that 2-year gap between seasons. Streaming service Hulu, which is now entirely owned by Disney, has again raised its monthly subscription prices to $18.99. Heck, let's just call it $19.
What?
I believe this is the second price increase this year. What I think is going on here is that Disney wants to drive subscribers into their Disney Plus ESPN Hulu bundle. I'll be keeping Hulu around despite its ever-increasing prices because my wife watches the majority of her television shows using that service, and I kind of watch a few shows on it too. Also, instead of having to subscribe to a streaming service in order to get shows from the major networks, I can get most of them using Hulu, albeit a day later, which still works out to be cheaper. If I, quote, saved money, unquote, by going for the bundle, both ESPN and Disney Plus would be underutilized. I would use ESPN for the occasional baseball or football game, but there's nothing on Disney Plus that I would watch. I mean, nothing. Anyhow, I'll be taking a long, hard look at Hulu in the future to decide if it's worth keeping around. podcast news. Over the past couple of years, a few companies have released software made for both podcast audio recording and video streaming. This, as many podcasters who were only audio prior have decided to expand to the video market in an attempt to scoop up some YouTube bucks. One of the leaders of this type of software has been StreamYard. They've even hired some OG podcasters to evangelize for them. According to podnews.net, starting next month, the subscription price for StreamYard will increase by 80%.
What the hell?
Going from $25 per month to $44.99 per month. It turns out back in April, StreamYard was acquired by Bending Spoons. Now, you might remember Bending Spoons as a company that acquired wildly popular note-taking app Evernote a while back. After basically shutting down the free version of Evernote, prices for a personal subscription doubled. I was amongst the many paying users of Evernote who dropped that app like a bad habit. After checking out alternatives, I settled on Apple Notes, mainly because it does what I need for free. StreamYard's founders left the company 4 months ago after realizing where the new owners were taking the app and even attempted to buy StreamYard back from them. All I can figure is that Bending Spoon intends to cater to high-end and high-paying business customers, pushing out those pesky and most likely destitute personal users with price increases. This formula must have worked with Evernote, so they intend to do the same with StreamYard. Since updating the firmware of my Lewitt Connect 6 audio interface some weeks ago, which I had a lot of problems actually getting the Connect 6 to accept, I had the displeasure of updating the firmware once again. Though it went easier than last time, the interface reboots itself at random times. Thankfully, the Connect 6 doesn't randomly reboot too much during recording. Anyway, I'm thinking of looking into the Rode Duo interface, which is also known to have problems, as an eventual replacement for the Lewitt Connect 6. Stay tuned. With the Lauren Chen Tenet Media scandal cooling off, well, for now at least, you know, the Russian money distributed to some of the most popular conservative influencers thing, I've been reflecting on the whole situation. A while back, while listening to an episode of the No Agenda podcast, the Podfather, Adam Curry, who's a co-host of the show, stated his distrust of these, air quotes, conservative influencers, saying he feels as if these influencers are more like a controlled opposition, meaning they're tolerated only to make it appear that there's a valid opposition to the perceived uniparty that rules the United States. As usual, I feel that Mr. Curry is onto something, though I wouldn't go as far as calling them controlled opposition. I think these influencers let the money do the talking and didn't do the due diligence on the source of the money they were receiving. The old adage, if it sounds too good to be true, then it isn't, comes to mind. In my case, though I wasn't following Tim Pool, Benny Johnson, or Dave Rubin, I was being fed their videos by the YouTube algorithm. Since the scandal broke, if those involved came up on my feed, I hit the Don't Recommend This Channel button. Judging by the timing of all this, perhaps this was the goal all along. I still check multiple sources on news items, but I go small. I check sources that don't have millions of subscribers and double-check them against other sources. Like all media, every one of them has an agenda. What I do is ask myself who benefits and, more importantly, where is the money coming from? The music is playing in this episode of the OFNT podcast is wrapping up. I don't know how many more of these episodes will be recorded up here in New York, but I can tell you, there's not many left. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's only if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Yeah, I really would. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Summer has made a brief return, and speaking of returns, why don't you head home now and get off my lawn? Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya. Thank you.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.